out. And Jesus said, unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Praise God. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the reading of the scripture. We thank you because the anointing of the Holy Ghost will mantle every one of us and grant us understanding of your word, bring us information, inspiration, and bring order into our lives through the word of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we receive your word with faith and meekness and gladness. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. Now, the story is about a man who brought his son to Jesus. His son was epileptic. And the Bible also lets us know that he had a deaf and dumb spirit as well. And he got to the disciples and Jesus wasn't there. And so he spoke to the disciples and said, please help me. My son is epileptic. Sometimes the devil throws him into the water. Sometimes into the fire to kill him. Help me. And the disciples began to try to cast the devil out. They made their efforts to no avail. Then Jesus came down and met these apostles struggling with the devil. And suddenly the man cried out to Jesus and said, Master, please help me. I brought my son to your disciples because he is epileptic. And they've not been able to help. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The Bible tells us Jesus rebuked the devil. You can see more detail of this particular story in St. Mark's Gospel, the 9th chapter. Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil went out of the boy, and he was cured. And, of course, the disciples were stunned because Jesus didn't do anything that they were unfamiliar with. They tried everything they had seen him do, and the devil didn't come out. They did what he did, they said what he said, and the devil didn't come out. And then Jesus just came, rebuked the devil like they did, and the devil went out. So they said, look at verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Why couldn't we do it? Lord, I prayed the way you asked me to pray. I've done everything you asked me to do. Why didn't I get the job? Lord, why did we lose the pregnancy? We tried everything. We did everything you said to do and we still lost the pregnancy. The fourth month. Dear God, why? We tried everything and the man still died. God, why? There's a lot of whys, you know. So many people are asking God, why? Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? We did everything we saw you do. Why didn't you work? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Very simple. I love Jesus. He wasn't... Have you ever studied about Jesus? Have you ever studied him? Studied his words, his sermons? He was never complicated. He used words that people could understand. You know, T.L. Osborne said, when you say you teach, if the people didn't learn anything, you didn't teach anything. He made it so plain, he said, because of your unbelief. It's your unbelief. There are people who would be ready to die for believing that they had faith. If you said they didn't, they would not believe. But then why didn't it work? You say, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? If it didn't work, it was not faith. Settle this in your mind. Faith always works. Did you hear me? Faith always works. If somebody tells you, well, sometimes faith works and sometimes it doesn't work, faith always works. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, the Bible says, now these three abide. These three abide. They don't shake. They are not unstable. They are well founded. These three remain. They work. They produce results. They do not fail. They never fail. Faith, hope, and love. Then it says, the greatest of these is love. Love is only greater. But all three of them abide. In other words, after everything else fails, because it says, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, and so on and so forth. So, he says, but these three abide. No matter what happens, faith doesn't fail. Hope doesn't fail. Love doesn't fail. So, if it failed, it was not faith. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, faith never fails. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith, look at it in your Bible. For verily I say unto you, that means assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. Get out of here. Go to such and such a place. He says, it shall remove. If you have faith and talk to the mountain, he said it will obey you. Let's read. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And read that last line. One, two, go. Read it like you mean it. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Many of us don't believe that. How many of you believe that? So why didn't you get the money then? He said, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Jesus never lied to anybody. He never exaggerated. He told absolute truth. If he said this, it must be true. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, very small. I've seen mustard seeds, they're very small. Less than half of your rice seed. Less than half. It's that small. And he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove. Get out of here. Go over there. He said, it'll work. How many of you really believe this? So why haven't you done it? Talk to me. Why haven't you done it? You really believe this? Why haven't you done it? I believe the disciples believed they could cast the devil out. They believed it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have tried it. They believed. They were sure they could. They had heard Jesus say they could. So they tried. And then it failed. So they came back and said, Master, why couldn't we? Well, Jesus said, because of your unbelief. The reason why it didn't work for you was because of your unbelief. That's the reason it didn't work. You say, I don't believe it. But, well, Jesus said so. You can have your fight with him. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know what? I'm having a good time right now. Just looking at all of you. Whew. He said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will talk to the mountain, and what you say will come to pass. And nothing, he said, nothing, that means absolute nothing, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, that doesn't mean something stupid, like saying, all right, I want two angels, come down now. They don't take such instructions. Whatever you're going to ask will have to be consistent with God's word. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. I believe this. Say, I believe it. Say, it will work for me. Say it again, I believe it. It'll work for me. Good. Can I show you something in the book of Proverbs? Chapter number 18. If you understand this message, it will change you forever. I'm telling you. See, because when you understand God's message, you put it to work. You don't only believe it, you practice it. It will change you forever. And when it makes that change in your life, it will affect others who come in contact with you. God said to Abraham, I will bless you and make you a blessing. That's what God wants to do with your life. He wants to bless you and make you a blessing. That's God's purpose for your life. That's why he brought you to this ministry. Because that's what we do here. Our ministry motto is giving your life a meaning. How many of you ever saw that? Yeah. Christ them is giving your life a meaning. That's what we're here for. Giving you a purpose for living. There's a reason for your life. Your life can be balanced. You can be at rest You can be happy. You can be joyful. You can be fulfilled. In the midst of darkness, you can shine brightly. That's what your life is for. Don't get carried away with all the troubles around you, all the problems around you. No. It says, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. That's God's plan for your life. He said, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, and they will not come nigh you. He says, with your eyes shall you see and behold the word of the wicked. But God just continues to bless you. Hallelujah. He just keeps blessing you and making you a blessing. And your life will only know promotion and increase and abundance. That's just all about your life. I tell people, I've never suffered in my life. I've never suffered. I could have. But it just didn't happen. Now, there are different kinds of people. There are people who will tell you stories from rags to riches kind of stories. I don't have that. I don't know, but I never experienced it. I've never suffered in my life. And I will never suffer. Why? Because, sure, are you still in this place? I got to receive the Word of God pretty early in my life and got a hold of it and began to live by it, act on it, and apply it. And it's been working. It just can't fail. So I've never known it, how, you know, to sell all your things so you can get something and be down so you can get up. I've never been down. Never had a blue day. And I made up my mind a long time ago to stay in God's rest. That's where I live. I live in His rest. Hallelujah. That's the kind of life you have to live. That's the life given to us. I have nothing to struggle for. Nothing. I'm just cool. Praise the Lord. The devil may not like it, but he can't do anything about it. So, I'm sharing this with you. You've got to catch it. It's so important. You can do something about your life. You can see your life move forward. I can tell. Now, this is just half of the year. And I'm far better now than I was in January. Far, far better. Far, far better than I was in January. And I'm going to be far, 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 far better in December than I am now. Why? Because the principles are here. And I just keep working them. The Bible says, work out your salvation. He has saved you. Now work it out. The salvation is inside. Now let it come out. Let it show in your family. Let it show in your marriage. Let it show in your job. Let it show in your home. Let it show everywhere about you. Let it show in your finances. That is your responsibility. The salvation that God gave you cannot be seen by men. What you will be seeing is the one that you work out. Hey, come on. You get it? All right. So here in Proverbs the 18th chapter, in verse 21, he says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. A young lady got married. The husband said to her one day, "What are you going to do if I died?" She said, "What do you mean?" He said, "If I suddenly died, what would you do?" "Ah," she said, "just forget it, I'll just die." Well, 3 years later, the man was on an official assignment and had a ghastly motor accident and died. When the wife heard of it, she was so troubled, she said, "It cannot be true. Until I see the body, I will not believe. It cannot be true." Because she was hysterical. She said, "Until I see the body, I will not believe." Well, she finally convinced some people to get her in the vehicle to go. And all the time they were with her. Then there was another accident. It affected the vehicle she was traveling with. There were five of them inside, and she was the only one who died. You say, "Oh God, why should that happen to anybody?" What nobody is looking at is the bill she signed into law. When the husband said, "If I died, what would you do?" She said, "Forget it, I'll just die." She gave death the license to take her life. She gave the devil the license to take her life in the event of her husband's death. And God couldn't stop it. If we knew how our lives are affected by our words, we'll be far more careful than we are today. Far more careful. Young guy was jobless. He couldn't go through school. He got to his second year in the university and dropped out. He couldn't hold any job. Every time he got a job, they kicked him out. He was always changing friends. Today he had these friends, and then of course they'll abandon him, and then he'll have some other friends. One day, somebody sat down to talk with him. He said, "I've never been able to understand my life." He said, "But I don't think I'll amount to anything in life anyway." The man said, "Why?" He said, "Because as I was growing up, my parents always told me I was stupid. They always told me I would never be anything. They always told me. They always told me that my younger ones were wiser than I. They always told me. I never thought I could be anything. I dropped out of school." See, because the first time I failed one course, my daddy called me a bastard. I never thought I could be anything. Every time I have friends or make friends, I always feel inferior to them. Sometimes I feel like taking my life, but I heard that if I take my life, I'll go to hell. So I don't want to go to hell, and that's the reason I haven't killed myself. Otherwise, I would have done it. A lot of times we don't know how our words affect those who are under us in our own lives. The life you are living today is the exact picture of what you said yesterday. You may not agree with that, but it's still true. You know, you don't have to believe something. It's just true anyway. Somebody said, "Well, I don't believe in the force of gravity." Well, you're still on the ground. It's keeping you there. Doesn't matter that you don't believe it. It's still working. Hallelujah. We just read in the 21st verse of the 18th chapter of the book of Proverbs, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are within the authority of the tongue. Your tongue can give you death or can give you life. He says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It's up to you. What you choose is what you get. But you're not just going to get it because you chose it. The real choice is made by your speaking. Are you getting this? Well, I don't think I'll ever get a job here. Well, I don't think you'll never get it. If they had just one place that you alone in the world could feel, they still wouldn't give it to you. You know why? You already said you couldn't have it. If you got in there, you get out. Something will push you out. You say what? Your words. Sometimes we don't know how to make it strong enough for people to understand this stuff. Your very salvation was dependent on words, not on your good deeds. And whether you go to heaven or you go to hell will be dependent on that little thing in your mouth, your tongue. Will take you to heaven or to hell. You better believe it. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Dear. You are today what you said yesterday. Your life today represents everything you said before today. You still there? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. She said, well, I'll never marry from that church. No, I'm not going to get married in that church. Which church? Our church. I'm not going to get married. There's nobody. I just can't see. No. You will never find somebody. Even if you saw the right person, you get blind until he's gone or she's gone. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Before long, you'll be in the hands of an unbeliever. Stuck unbeliever. That's the way it works. I'll show you something else. You know, this is a subject we're going to have to look through in several services. It's very important. You can begin to change your life from today. You can begin to change the course of your life. If you were going this way with your tongue, you can change the direction. I'm telling you, you can change the direction. Proverbs chapter 15. Did you ever read that in the Garden of Eden, there were, just a moment please. Okay. Did you ever read that in the Garden of Eden, there were two very important trees? There were several others, of course, but there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I will show you another name for that tree in a moment. Who's got the Amplified version? Amplified. All right, thank you. Then there was another tree called the Tree of Life. Thank you. The Tree of Life. How many of you ever heard of the Tree of Life? Now, if anybody ate of that tree, he would live forever. Because that tree would produce life in everything about him. and in everything that he did. But this other tree of which Adam and Eve ate was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's in the King James rendering. I want to read it to you from the Amplified Version. It's in the third chapter, the book of Genesis. Or we can find it right from the second chapter, chapter number 2, and verse 9. Have you noticed it? It says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden." Listen, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right? Now let me show you another name for that so you understand. Now, Adam did not eat of the tree of life. He and his wife ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And after they had done that, God had to send an angel in to drive them out of the garden and to forbid them from eating of the tree of life. Because after sin, if they had eaten of the tree of life, they would be like demons, devils. Because they're going to live forever and they cannot be redeemed. So in God's mercy, he drove them out. Imagine, God said, eat of any tree except this one. They could eat of the tree of life, and they didn't. Now don't blame them. Because we do the same all the time. All right, let me read to you from the Amplified so you know the other name for it. It says here, "And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight or to be desired, good, suitable, pleasant for food, the tree of life also in the center of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of the difference between good and evil," and then he calls it blessing and calamity. Now, another rendering, a newer version, puts it this way: the experience of blessing in calamity. God said, don't eat of it. They ate of it. What did they get? Blessing and what? Calamity. Why is man's life full of blessings and calamities? The tree they ate. Are you still here? Okay. Now, I said that for a reason. Thank you. I said that for a reason. Proverbs 15th chapter. Thank you. I'll show you something there in the 4th verse. It says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life." Oh, glory to God. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Now, you see, you can have your own tree of life now. It's in your tongue. Hallelujah. It's right in your tongue. You can have your own tree of life. That means no wound in your body that cannot be healed. Glory to God. Nothing that cannot be changed. You have your own tree of life in your tongue. You can change your life. This is the most exciting part of all of this teaching. It is the fact that You can just walk out of misery. You can just walk out of pain. You can just walk out of sickness. Just walk out. Just walk out of poverty, walk out of lack and want. Just walk out of anything that demeans, anything that is not good, and just get into the good life and be prosperous overnight. Hallelujah. Overnight. You just be another man overnight. Riches are not in things. Riches and wealth are in you. The day you get that understanding, you would rise up like a giant, and nothing in this world, nothing will intimidate you anymore. Nothing. Riches are nothing things. Don't look at a man with the things he has and think he's rich. Because he probably isn't. Never measure him with what he seems to have. Say, I'm rich.
I'm rich.
Look at you again. Say, I'm rich.
I'm rich.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, I know who I am. Yeah. See, the Word of God, Bible says He has brought us into a large place. Another version says into a wealthy place. He's not going to bring us there. He has brought us there. And all what we have to do is to open our eyes and see all the wonderful things that God has blessed us with in the realm of the Spirit. Get the Word of God and just load it in. Load it in. And then begin to speak them out. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. You get in the presence of God with, you know, with the Bible, just study and study and study and be transported in the Holy Ghost. You understand? And after you've studied the Word of God and meditated on it, then go out and begin to proclaim what you have publicly. Begin to say what you have. They may look at you and think you're crazy. But that's the way they are. When you say, you know, I'm from a poor family. I'm poor. I have nothing. They say, oh, it's true. It's true. They like it because they rate you with what they see. Poor man has no brother. Mm-hmm. Even he wouldn't say, what about me? I'm your brother. You say, you know I'm poor. Poor man has no brother. He, your friend, he would say, it's true. He can't even say, but I'm your brother. He says, it's true. He's trying to tell you, I couldn't even be your brother. But if you came back and said, hey, hello, first the sound of your voice will disturb him. Because poor men don't talk happy. No, they never talk happy. Always complaining, always complaining. And they have worry wrinkles. They always look older than their real age. And as they get older, they get darker. That's one big trouble. Meanwhile, if you're prosperous, the older you get, the fairer you are. Well, I can see on some of your faces just wondering, must everybody be fair? Because you're fair. Hey, relax. God never created a black man. But that's the truth. You better believe it. God never made a black man. This book talks about one Garden of Eden. Not two. One. One Adam, one Eve. And says we all came from them. Is that correct? And the Garden of Eden was not in Africa. So, when they call you African, that and that, say, yeah, I live in Africa. I was born in Africa. I'm proud to be... You understand? Listen. But! In the sense of my nature, I'm not African. Not at all. My great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather came to Africa. But he came from somewhere. But you know something? The life in you has no color. And this is the thing that's shaking the world. You understand? Are you getting what I'm telling you? It's already shaking the world. It's shaking the world. A lot of them are wondering about some of us. They're looking at us like this. I'm talking about Africans, Asians, Americans, and so on and so forth. They're looking at some of us like this. Suspiciously. They're wondering, why do they talk the way they do? What? Who gave them something to eat? We found out. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, we found out. We found out the color of your skin has nothing to do with your nature. Glory to God. We found out anybody could be anything. With this, Jesus said so, and Jesus never lied to anybody, and Jesus was not black. So he wasn't trying to help black folks. He was just telling the truth for everybody. Amen? Which means anybody could use his tongue and get out of trouble. Doesn't matter that you were born in a hut. Doesn't matter. It's got nothing to do with it. Every day, you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I refuse to be poor. I will not live the down life. You talk to the guy on the other side of the mirror. That's your reflection. Say, you're going somewhere. Listen, what I'm sharing with you, I discovered many years ago. And that's how I got to where I am. And that's how I'm going to where I'm going. I've been doing it a long time. I stand there. And I say, nobody can stop you. Nobody. Hey, you're catching something. Am I right? Mm-hmm. I can see it working in you right now. I can see it. I used to say, I'm going to sponsor the gospel in nations of the world. I will. By God, I will. I will. And I'm doing it. I said, I'm doing it already. I'm doing it. Glory to God. I'm doing it. Some of you are also doing it. Don't say, nobody knows tomorrow. Your tomorrow is assured. You should know it. It is assured. Listen, let me tell you something. The glory is in us. Oh, thank you, Lord. The glory is in us. What many of us have a problem with is how to bring it up. And never you be in a hurry. Do God's thing first. Hear me. This is so important. Don't be in a hurry. Don't let your colleagues make you feel you are behind them. You are not behind anybody because you're not competing with anybody. They may have to go through steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 to get to 10. But your way is not like that. Just one stride. You go from 1 to 10. That's your life. That's the reason I cannot envy anybody. How could I? I mean, many of us heard today, they say the youngest first class holding graduate of mathematics from the UK. Many of us heard that today. Am I right? 15 years old. World record. And for a moment, I was trying to calculate how could anybody, 15 years old, I mean, what about his secondary school? What about this? Then I said, hey, God can do anything. Glory. He can do anything. God can do anything. Say, well, he doesn't believe in God. Hey, what Jesus said here was not for Christians. Let me read again. St. Matthew's Gospel, 18th chapter, or 17th chapter rather. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 17. How many of you know the disciples were not born again in St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17? They were not born again, and yet Jesus said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And they were not Christians. They didn't have eternal life. At this time of their history, they were living under the old covenant. If guys who didn't have eternal life could use their faith for anything, as Jesus said, what about you? With kingdom principles. Don't get in a hurry. Tell somebody, don't get in a hurry. Do God's own first. Yeah, that's very important. Do you remember what the prophet said to the woman? The woman and her son, you know, they were about ready to die. Didn't have anything else. And the prophet came and said, hey, woman, could you get me some water to drink? And she said, all right, I'll get it. And she was going in. The prophet said, and please let me also have some food. She said, no, prophet. I got just a little piece of cake. And I'm going to use that for me and my son. Then after eating that, we have nothing left. We're going to die. Prophet said, nevertheless, get me, just go bake it and get mine to me first. And then after that, get for you and your son. What a hungry prophet. Somebody would have said, what kind of man of God is that? Who can't care about people? How can you feed and make them last? If you were a true prophet, you would let them have first. And if there's anything left over, then, no! That saints knowledge. SK. That saints knowledge. Since knowledge says, where is my God? You are the shepherd. As shepherd, just make sure everybody gets rest, then you come last. That's the best way to put them in poverty. That's the best way to kill them. That's sense knowledge. You're dealing with the anointing. He said, get mine first. For thus saith the Lord, you are not going to hunger until rain comes. And guess what? The head of it, anything remained. It got larger. The head of it, it got larger. Until the famine was over, they lacked nothing. If she hadn't done that, it would have been according to her words. We'll finish this meal and we die. And they would have died. After all, the Bible tells us many others had already died. So they wouldn't have been the first ones to die. Sometimes people don't understand the principles. So they feel, well, let me do this quick. Hide this, keep this. I was sharing along this line. There's a young couple listening to me. I told him, I said, how my wife and I, when we just got started, we were hoping that one day we're going to give God a million naira. That's some years ago. But we didn't have it. But we decided we were going to give God a million naira. The first million we get, God's going to get it. And we began to save for it. Happy to save for it. Putting money there. When it got to 1 million, glory, glory, glory. And we gave it. That was the insurance. To see to it that we could only have in millions. You don't understand this stuff. That meant we were only given that realm. Do you understand? From then on, you can only be a millionaire. You can never be less than what you give. A young couple, they sat there listening to me as I talked about that. They had invested their 1 million. They got 1 million. They were so excited about it. And they bought a piece of land. They said, wow, we are rich forever. But they were smart. When they heard that, they said, we bought a piece of land with this money. And here's what we have decided to do. Now we think we acted foolishly because God gave us 1 million. And we thought, wow, this is it. But now we believe God wants to take us to a higher level. And they went and got the documents for the land and said, we give this to God. Guess what? Supernaturally, God opened doors. They are in millions right now. The little thing they gave just a while ago cannot be compared to what they have right now. And I got another mail from them telling me about the miracles. They just can't believe it. Do God's own first. Don't be in a hurry. Because by the time God is blessing you, you're going, you see, look, son, one over there. Why the others are trying to get there? They were ahead of you. You were behind. And they were going. And they looked at you and said, you are still far away. And then by the time you're like, oops. Listen, that's why they can't even believe what, even in ministry, it's the same thing. It's the same thing in ministry. They can't believe what is happening here. Just a few years ago, we're down the street, down the corner there. There's a building over there. And on Yeleke Street. They can't believe what is going on. They're asking themselves all the time, is this a dream or what? How can that, they call me Chris. They even want to scatter the name. They can't believe it. They say, how could it be? It's impossible. But they haven't seen anything yet. No, if I call a meeting, have you not observed that during when we're preparing for Night of Bliss, I don't talk about it. We just put an ad, but I don't talk about it. If I make 3 announcements, the whole of the cage will be blocked. Where would the people be? All the streets we have people. They'll come from everywhere. How? It is not by might. It is not by power. But by my spirit, saith the Lord. That should be your theme song in your life. It should be your theme song. They tell you you're not qualified for something, just smile. Brothers and sisters, it is by grace. And grace doesn't ask for qualifications. The man just likes you and makes a choice to give you the job. He just likes you. He can't understand it. He just likes you. So he's giving you the job. He said, excuse me, sir. There's something about the qualification here. We actually said we needed healed. His mind is not on what they're saying. Just say yours. The chief executive says, I want that guy. Just something about you. It's called grace. And you know what? That grace is upon your life. Let it work. The Bible says for us to grow in grace. See, your grace can be stored. Some people had grace 3 years ago. But that grace that God gave to them 3 years ago cannot function for the challenges of today. So they can't understand why they're turning around in circles. They ought to be growing in grace. Like the Bible says, but he giveth more grace. You have to grow in grace. There has to be more grace upon your life. Increased grace. Hallelujah. There's grace to function. And you find unusual happenings in your life that people cannot explain. They cannot explain them. How can you explain them? Ask someone, how can you explain them? It's called grace. Hallelujah. Are you still there? You sure you're still there? All right, let's hurry with Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We got to hurry with this. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory. Hey! Hey, come on. Some of you, those of you who understand some of the things happening in Christendom around the world, haven't you noticed? It's the faith ministers that are reaching the whole world. No, look at it. It's those with the message of faith. The theologians and theologizing are not getting anywhere. Even the ones who call themselves evangelicals are not getting anywhere. It's those who believe and trust in the message of faith that are the ones reaching the world. Because God can't trust anybody else. That's it. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible. Doesn't matter what you do. Without faith, you can't please Him. You may be a prayer warrior. You can't please God without faith. You may be anything, whatever you like to do. Without faith, you cannot please God. But faith, the Bible says, is the victory that overcometh the world. Hallelujah. The message of faith. Because that's the only thing that overcomes the forces of this world. Oh, come on, come on, come on. You have to understand it. You have the forces of this world. They are so negative. That war against everything that stands for good. Only faith overcomes the forces of this world. That's why it says faith is the victory that overcometh the world system. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, faith is a victory that overcometh the world. Amen. All right, let's read through these quickly as we round off. Proverbs chapter number 4, and I'm reading from verse 20. It says, my son, attend to my words. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, oh glory, they are life unto those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh. Oh glory. Hallelujah. Medicine to all their flesh. Thank you, Lord. Does the word of God excite you? It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. They are life. The sayings of God, the words of God. He says they are life to those that find them. To those that find them. Some people take the Bible and never find the Word of God. They just keep starting nonsense. They talk nonsense. And you listen a whole hour, and you can't tell where they're coming from. You can't tell where they're going to. I love my Bible. Thank God we can have our own Bibles. Imagine what would have happened if we couldn't find out the truth for ourselves. Cool. Oh, glory. Now look at verse 23. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Hey, he says, mount guard over your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart like a security man. You understand? Guard your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the forces of life. Out of your heart are the forces of life. Out of your spirit are the forces of life. So mount guard. Don't let just anything get in. Only accept the Word of God. Hey, let me show you something. Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Glory to God. Some of you don't like to read your Bible. You better like it. Because that's the only thing that's going to change your position. Psalm 59, written from verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? You see that? You see that? It's one thing to come in, it's another thing to stay there. It's one thing to get up, it's another thing to remain up. Hey! He tells us the answer. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. Now, the next part is what I really want you to see. And what? Did you notice something? Hey, come on. Read that again. Did you notice something? Huh. Read it again. You realize that has nothing to do with, I just want to tell you the truth. I was coming from this door, even though they said I was coming from, I didn't take it. I didn't take it. I'm telling you the truth. Like some say, truth to God. That's the word he's talking about. He says, he that speaketh the truth, he didn't say to his neighbor, he says, in his heart. That's meditation. You're speaking the truth. What is the truth? Thy word is truth. John 17:17. That means you're speaking God's word in your heart. You're meditating. You know, you wake up and your head is heavy. You're feeling cold. It's all chilly. Oh God. And then it's malaria. No! I am what God says I am. You know, you're speaking God's word in your heart. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. Chastised with my peace upon him with his stripes. I can do all things through Christ that energizes me. I can. I know who I am. I found my place. I'm a prosperous man. See, don't wait until, you know, some people, they come inside and say, 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. That's all I have. I've been using these shoes since 3 years now. You know, they're angry with themselves and angry with everybody else. 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. Only 2 shirts. Only 2 good shirts. All the other 5. So when you say, I'm a prosperous man, they remember their shirts. Brother, if you think that way, you will always be poor. Don't think like that. Don't, hear me. Don't measure yourself with anything you see around you. Measure yourself with how much truth is inside you. That is the true wealth. When you are rich inside, you will make others rich. Forget about you. You will make others rich. You know what we're doing today? We're making many rich. That's what we're doing. We're making many rich. Showing them the way to be rich. Making many rich. For helping people discover who they are and what they can do. And when they discover, they become great. And the mouths are filled with testimonies how great God is. That's what I like to see. The word of God never fails. Amen. Hallelujah. Meditate on God's word. Keep it in your heart. Shout about it. Dance about it. You know, just make songs out of God's word. 24 hours a day. Keep the joy on. Amen. Say, I'm what God says I am. I died with Christ. I was buried in him. And I was raised up together with him. Now, I am seated together, reigning in life. Look at me. And look out, world. Look out, world. You're telling the whole world, look out. A success is coming. A victory is coming. Hallelujah.